each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome. It's a beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
You know what I love about Chicago? Geraldine, you know what I like about Chicago?
What do you like about Chicago?
What I love about Chicago is that it changes. The weather changes all the time.
Oh, yes. That you can be sure of.
Just beautiful. It is picture perfect outside. It's the perfect kind of day.
It is.
It would be nice if it would be like this every day, but we need change.
I guess.
Yesterday I was in a meeting. Last night we had a board meeting for the school. I was there. It was over here. And there was a point. Let's see. We started at 7 o'clock, and there was a point in the meeting where I was looking out the window, and we had these blinds. They're these blinds that you can see through,
mm-hmm.
but they block the sun out. But I could see that there was something really strange about the sky.
Oh, yeah.
And I happened to look to the right, the windows on the right at the end of the room, that's that long room that's up there in the rectory where we have these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was ominous. It was frightening what was coming.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything because we were in this meeting. And I just noticed that everybody was starting to kept glancing over that way. And then finally, somebody said, how much longer are we going to be in this meeting? Because we need to get home.
Yes.
It looked bad. Did you? I don't know if you saw it from your neck of the woods. You're kind of. I said, I'm not going to say that again. You're kind of. You are.
Out of it. Oh.
No, you're not out of it, but you are away from the center of the city. You're mm-hmm. in a neighborhood.
Yes,
I'm not
I am.
In a neighborhood. Would you say I wouldn't say I'm in a neighborhood because we got a lot of we've got the expressway,
right.
We've got the skyline. We cannot look out into the horizon. You're kind of. I did it again. I got to break that habit.
Why?
Because I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
I was listening the other day to somebody on the radio, and they kept all that. I pick up now all these.
Well, that's annoying, but kind of is not.
Well, it's annoying to
it
me.
It is to you, yes.
So I don't know if you saw how ominous it was.
I did.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway, how are you doing, Geraldine? You're doing
I'm
fine.
I'm doing great, yes, good. Father.
Very good. And Christina finally made it in. She flew in. How are you doing, Christina?
I'm okay. I was just in a meeting.
You were in a meeting?
Yeah,
we
were looking at some things. I'm learning a
Francesco.
Lot of new stuff, yes.
Very good. It's about time you learn something.
You're supposed
to learn something new every day.
It's
you
never
do.
Too late.
And you do. You know, it's never too late. By the way, I sent you the letter.
The letter,
so
yes.
You've got your work cut out for you this afternoon.
Yes, I do.
But it's a nice letter,
it's
I think.
It's a very nice letter.
Thank you. And Geraldine always proofread. Proofread.
Proofread.
Gosh, what is my problem?
Was she proofread or she proofread?
I see, it's a good thing I didn't have to hire for this job, you know. I wouldn't be here, that's for sure. Proofread. Proofread.
Proofread or proofread. Can you say proofread?
Proofread.
Proofread.
Yeah.
I proofread.
That sounds even funny. Anyway, and Tony's in California enjoying.
Tony's in sunny California.
Let's just pray that he has water to drink, you know.
Yes.
So. And we're getting all the water.
Mm-hmm.
But today,
it's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
We were just saying before you came down. It just
the sun is out. Yeah,
picture perfect.
Shine.
Picture perfect.
Yes.
How are you doing over there, Nicholas?
I'm fine, Father Anthony. Just sore from working out yesterday because I was pushing it a little bit, or pushing the envelope, trying to get increased weight a little bit. So I'm all right.
Good for you, yeah.
So I'm trying to keep at it. Trying to keep
young
fit,
and healthy.
And it's going all right. And it's working.
There you go.
But I'm all right.
You're all right. You look all right. You look like you look more fit today. That's what I thought. You looked a little bit more fit today.
Yeah, my parents talked about that too. They couldn't believe how big my arms have gotten.
Yeah, in just
I mean,
a day.
The same thing. I'm amazed too because I promised myself years ago never to gain weight, but I overlooked the fact that when you when you lift heavier, you gain muscle.
Muscle,
mass.
That's right. That's
why,
right.
So, well.
And muscle weighs more than fat.
That's right.
Yes.
So don't be fooled by the scale.
Oh, no, I'm not. I realize what it is.
Yeah. Okay. You're not stupid, are you?
No.
No. Come on.
We're laughing with you.
Yes.
No.
What are we doing here?
All right. Why is that irritating to me?
Because it's like sudden. You're not
sudden,
expecting
not
it.
Not expecting it. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Wow. So here we are on this beautiful, beautiful day. One has energy today. So I think, you know, we never talk about the weather, so we should talk about the weather from
Good
time
idea.
To time, right? We always talk about the weather.
That's right.
Everybody always talks about the weather. First, probably in most conversations, the first thing people say, why? Because we're affected by the weather.
Mm-hmm.
We're
yes.
very much affected.
Yes, we are.
We don't even realize how much we're affected by the weather. Yesterday, the day before, with all that humidity and that heaviness, people were just, why am I so tired? Why do I have no energy? What's wrong? And you see, even the trees, you look, I can't stand the humidity.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. I prefer the colder winter to the humidity, hot and humidity. But you look out and everything looks so sad. Mm-hmm. The trees are, you can just feel the heaviness in the trees and the leaves.
It weighs
everything
everyone
looks dirty.
Down. Yes.
Don't like it.
People saying, and I feel the same way about how we could deal with the heat. But not the humidity.
Not the humidity.
Once you throw that heat and then combine it with the humidity, it's...
So at the meeting last night, two guys from Miami, Will Frank, and also Joe was at the meeting. He was raised in Miami.
And it's hot in
Yes,
hot
it is.
There.
But although they get the breeze off
the... breeze from the ocean.
My family as well. They're in the... Yeah. I have to say, I mean, when it's hot and humid, it's hot and humid. In fact, this friend... By the way, it was ironic... Should I say ironic, providential? Last week we were talking about the carnivals. I guess it was maybe 2 weeks ago now. Isn't it amazing how
time flies? Indeed.
But I was talking about the Ferris wheel and being on the Ferris wheel and my friend who was going to the convent. I was going to the seminary. Another guy was
in the
seminary.
Story.
And we were all on the Ferris wheel. And I was wearing white and he was wearing orange. And she was in the middle on the top of the Ferris wheel. We had just had a spaghetti dinner at her house. And... And to make a long story short, you know, she was getting sick up there on the Ferris wheel, and she started emptying her purse out, giving all the stuff to the other guy who had the orange, was wearing the orange, but she didn't make it, and so she threw up on me with the white. I had all the white. So I figured spaghetti, orange would make
nice.
Things. You know, anyway,
sure.
Anyway, so I haven't talked to her in years and years, and she called.
She called the other day.
Just the other day. Her father died. God rest his soul. He had a long life. He was a good man, very good man. But I thought it was interesting. It was kind of,
kind of. Oh, I'm trying to break myself.
Well, you know,
myself.
Father, the other...
I don't care, Christine. I don't want to say it.
I know.
I know you told me that. I say it a lot,
and I try not to say it, too, so I know where you're coming from.
Wow. Anyway, you got to slap me every time I say that.
I wouldn't do that. I don't want to get fired.
No, of course not. And you better not.
No, I would never do that.
But anyway, I thought it was interesting that, you know, here I'm thinking about her. I hadn't thought about her in many years. Very nice person. We were in high school together. We were, I was president of the senior class. She was vice president. So we were,
worked
hand in hand. Uh-huh. Yeah. She was a lot of fun. I mean, everybody likes her very much. She was just always, she was always a prankster. She went to the convent. She didn't stay.
I wonder
being
why.
A prankster. No,
she was there about 9 years, but she was a prankster. I mean, a real prankster. Always pulling tricks on everybody, teachers, other classmates, and all that. I think some of the things that she did. But anyway, that's a so interesting. Let's see, shift gears a little bit here. Get into something. a little bit more serious. Anything else before we get into something serious?
Oh, Father, we're
get
good.
Beyond the superficial.
Sure.
The superficial. Sometimes I like to stay in the realm of the superficial.
Why not?
Because it's
Why
easier.
Not? Yes.
A little something light.
Something light. Well, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. It's a very beautiful reading. I've said many times on the radio that if we... Oh, by the way, well, it'll come up, I think, in the... Well, let me just say anyway. I think I mentioned Luce Van Dyke, Luce and Peter Van Dyke,
oh, right.
and their
yes,
children were
yes.
here. Was it last week or
it
Monday?
Friday
or Saturday? I don't remember.
Last Friday. Yes.
Friday. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was so nice. And by the way, I saw Corey. He does this.
The Star Wars.
Yes, he's got his own podcast or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Podcast or is it? You call it a podcast? That's what it is.
Yes.
It almost made me want to do something like that because he's got a very attractive presence.
Very
he's very creative and very it draws you in, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was watching, I couldn't, you know, get away from it because it was just it. And I happened to go to YouTube, so I didn't. They wanted me to listen to an interview that he had done. By the way, if they're ever in Chicago, Nick, you're going to love this guy. We got to get him on the radio, but he's. He's Star Wars. He's really into all that stuff. And
mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
It sounds awesome. Yeah.
And he's and he interviews people from Hollywood and Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't get the whole. I don't understand the whole networking there. But
yeah, I knew something like that once too. And another station I work at, they had a program, Rebel Force Radio, which is what it was, and they specifically dealt with Star Wars a lot. And it was one of my favorite programs.
Well, I have to get the. I've got his card. I should have brought it down with me, but I'll get it to you, and you can
Watch it.
You can watch it and watch him, and he's. It's just. It really. It just draws you in. It made me think. I want to do that. I wish I was young again that I could start something like that and. You know,
why it's never too late, Father.
Well, you're not going to put a camera in front of me, that's for sure.
I know,
but he's photogenic, so he's got the voice and the face for it. You know, so it's great. But anyway, next time when they're in Chicago, I hope Luce is listening because she listens to the radio,
that's right.
From what I understand, religiously. But I'd like to get her. Get him. Get we can forget it? Luce. We'll get him on the radio. Okay. Got to bring him on. But we had a really, really nice discussion. A very, very nice discussion. What was supposed to be, you know, 10-15 minutes because I had a lot to do. They had invited me out to breakfast. Was I talking about this the other day?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry to repeat myself.
No, that's okay. That's what happens when you get older.
Yeah, well, you know, thank you. It's true. And yes, I am old, you know. I don't know what that makes you, Geraldine, but I am
ancient.
But we're all getting old, so.
We're all getting older.
We're on the
we're
same boat.
Wiser. The wisdom comes with the years.
That's right.
But anyway, so they had invited me to breakfast, and I really had to decline because I had a lot to do. I said, but come on in. We'll sit down and talk. And at least, 15, 20 minutes. We were 2 hours, maybe. But it was great. It was so nice. And the conversation was really good, and it was serious. It wasn't superficial.
Mm-hmm.
Very serious conversation. But we were talking about the this is why I was thinking about this, because I was reflecting on a number of things that I'll bring to your attention this morning or this
afternoon.
This afternoon, depending on where you are,
yes,
you know,
right.
listening. Because I do, we have listeners
all over the world.
We got one in New Zealand and one in Finland. And one in Peru.
That's right. That's right.
So I know we got three outside the.
Three outside the.
The last I heard, you know. So.
Yeah.
But somehow they track that. I don't know. I'm not sure quite how, but they do. And in any case,
when you were talking about it pertains to the readings or whatever you have on the paper.
Right. Right.
I'm not a mind.
Well, let me go right to the art. Well, there's a lot. It'll all connect. You see, it's all going to come
connected,
together. Did I tell you that somebody said I was like a chef?
All the chefs.
That I'm throwing things out all over the place.
Multitasking.
And you have no idea. What's he preparing? You have no idea. And then at the end, after it's all.
So you're just,
done,
you're right just, now you're doing the prep. So you're preparing
I'm
us.
Throwing
for
it all out. I'm throwing everything
for
out
the
there.
Final.
Whatever comes to my mind. I'm like the Pope, you know, whatever comes to my mind, I say. I was saying this morning at Mass that we need to pray. You know, we pray for the Pope every day, right? We pray for the Holy Father. But we need to pray for his prudence, I think.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, that the Holy Father be prudent. Because he's got his flaws. He's not above God. He's not above the gospel.
No.
He's a servant of the gospel. And he's different. He's got his own personality. He's not Pope Benedict. He's not Pope John Paul II. He's not Pope Paul VI. He's not Pope Pius XII. You remember him, Geraldine?
Yes.
He's not, who was the one before that and before that and before that? Pius XI. You remember all those, right? He, who?
Pius XI was before him.
And before him?
That's, I wasn't born at that point, so I don't remember.
Come on, you're joshing.
No, I go back to Pius XI.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he must have been in the papacy a long, long time.
A couple hundred years.
Anyway, but in any case, I said we pray for the Pope. Let's be specific and pray for his prudence, because he speaks off the cuff. We're not used to that. He says things, and he said, what did he say? What did he say?
Did he really say that?
Yeah, the Francis effect. Anyway, but I do want to share with you, these are, I mean, some of the things. He's an enigma, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jesus was an enigma, right? Jesus was a mystery, mm-hmm. for sure. But just let me lead up to this, going back to the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. because we've had some very beautiful readings all through this past week, and mm-hmm. we're still in the sermon, which is Matthew's gospel. But yesterday in Rome, nearly a million people gathered for a protest, to protest gender theory education. The reason why I brought up the Luce Van Dyke and her family, Luce mm-hmm. and Peter and the family, is that we were speaking about a lot of these issues, mm-hmm. and it was very good and very challenging conversation. And I've been thinking about it ever since then, because, see, sometimes people have the impression that because we teach something specific, let's say, about marriage, or family, when we get into the whole realm of sexuality and all that, that if there's any, and I'll even use the word deviation from the ideal or from what is, as we believe, been ordained by God, the truth that has been handed on, what is in the natural order of things. Because really, a man and a woman come together, they unite in the act of love, the union of the man and the woman. From that union comes a child, right? A child is conceived and born. So that's the natural order of things, you know, and so it is with all species. But in any case, if we declare, we defend, we promote, we proclaim, we try to live this truth, knowing that we live in a disordered world, and that disorder will affect us as well. But even to use the word disorder, people find it very offensive that they would be called, that their behavior would be considered disordered, or that we would be considered sinners, and yet we're all sinners, right? And mm-hmm. there's disorder in life, and it's just I think it's a matter of humility. It's to humble ourselves and say, yes, you know, of course, we need God. We need the grace of God. We need the transforming, the purgative, the transformative, the sanctifying grace of God in order to attain to our true self as created in the image and likeness of God. In any case, but the idea is that and this is something that it, even as they prepare for the synod, the bishops, the Pope and the bishops prepare for the upcoming synod on the family in October, they've issued their kind of a, I said it again, didn't I?
You did.
I did.
It's part of you, Father.
It's part of me. A synod guiding document. And in that, what they really stress is this search for the proper language so that people are affected. But the assumption that many people have, because maybe the way we've communicated, or perhaps how Catholic Christian teaching, Judeo-Christian, and by the way, it's just not Judeo-Christian, it's all the major religions mm-hmm. of the world. The assumption that, well, we don't, if somebody isn't living according to the natural order of things, if someone is conflicted, or someone is even freely without any, no bother to the conscience, is living and even celebrating a lifestyle that is at odds with the teachings of the church, with biblical teaching, the teachings of the church, the assumption is that we don't like them, or that we don't that they have no place in the life of the church. And that's just not the case. It's not the case. But certainly as members of the mystical body of Christ, who as we participate in the sacred worship of the church, I mean, what do we say before we receive, before we have this encounter with Jesus in Holy Communion? We say, but Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof. Say, but only the word and my soul will be healed. Even as we begin the Mass, one of the first things we do after we mark ourselves with the sign of the cross, we have the penitential rite, right? Whereby mm-hmm. we recognize that we gather in sacred assembly as sinners. I think, you know, this is something that is a real problem for people in the world today, is this recognition. I mean, if we really take a good look at ourselves, if we really take a good look at God and even others, and then take a good look at ourselves, we have to, we should humbly admit that we are sinners. There, but by the grace of God, go I. Yes, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own, which was one of the readings we'll get to in just a moment. We're going to take a break here, but you get the gist of what I'm mm-hmm. saying. Is it? Mm-hmm. It's, and this is where there a language is needed. You know, how do we? And this is where we're grappling with this, because we can't go back to what Saint Pope John Paul II said. I repeat it how many times, but it helps me to keep things in perspective when, in the midst of protest, so much protest against the church's teachings, against especially in regard to marriage, family, sexuality, and all that, the Pope John Paul II said, you know, I mean, they were burning effigies and they were helium condoms, you know, mm-hmm. filled with helium. That, you know, just they were doing all kinds of stuff. And in protest, I believe it was in Belgium. Mm-hmm. And the Pope's a very simple response, a very humble, very simple response was, you know, you ask me to do what I haven't the authority to do. I don't have the authority to change this. But the church, nonetheless, because society is really in the grip of so much social experimentation. A re-education, this attempt to re-educate the church, because the society is so in the grip of this. I mean, you know, the television, how the manipulation happens. I almost said it, but a brainwashing, mm-hmm. you could say, mm-hmm. Is happening so that, you know, our sensitivities are changing. Now, there has to be sensitivity to life and sensitivity to, certainly to God and to all things sacred, to life, to family, to marriage, to the human person. And that sensitivity means that indeed we recognize that we are sinners and we walk among sinners, that we're all in this together and we're all a bit wounded and broken, imperfect. We all have some element of disorder, whether it's in the mind, whether it's in the body, whether it's in the soul or the spirit. Yeah. And so in this recognition, there is compassion. We suffer with each other. But we don't create a codependence in the sense that, you know, we're going to wallow in this together and we're going to collectively refuse to look to a higher standard or to be true to the laws that are written into our DNA, into ourselves, but we're gonna keep each other in this place, mm-hmm. in this place, mm-hmm. whatever place it may be, contrary to, or even with a certain angst or hostility against God, or if we don't want to project the hostility toward God, then certainly toward the church,
mm-hmm. yeah.
toward the church, because the church has the mission to safeguard and protect, or as Pope John Paul II said, I don't have the authority to change this. So it's, how do we, having been affected by all the stuff going around, what do we do? Where do we go? What do we say? How do we reconcile? How do we bring ourselves and others from here to there. And where is there? But to recognize that that we rise above, or that we humbly surrender to God, who can do marvelous things in us and through us, or even to recognize our brokenness and woundedness, and to become wounded healers. In other words, from this, let me be more compassionate, more understanding, without insisting that all things change. That there's this, it would just be very specific about the redefinition of marriage and family. How do we do that? Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. There's two articles here. I want to talk about the protest yesterday in Rome, and then perhaps to share a little bit about the Synod guiding documents, and then, of course, the readings yesterday and today from the Gospel taken from the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll just see where we go when we get back. So everybody, don't stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on a beautiful day in Chicago. Can you just feel the difference? I just feel more energetic today. It's so beautiful. Really, really nice. We're very happy to have David on yesterday with his group.
Oh, that's right.
They did a good job. It was really good,
I didn't actually hear it, but...
Yeah, I heard the whole thing.
But I had no doubt that they would. He's very...
We were speaking with his wife, and I said, he's a natural.
He is, yeah. He really is.
So he's always willing to come and help out.
Exactly, yeah. No, it's good to have him. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yesterday, there was this protest, gender theory, nearly a million people actually in Italy hit the streets to protest gender theory education at the, they gather in the square at the St. John Lateran in Rome, which is the mother church of all the churches. Mm-hmm. That's the Church of Rome, actually the See of Peter. The Vatican is a See of Peter, but the chair of Peter is actually in St. John Lateran. So it precedes St. Peter's church. There's four major basilicas: St. Peter, St. John Lateran, St. Mary Major, and St. Paul outside the wall. In any case, they called it the Family Day, and it was aimed at defending the traditional family and stopping the spread of gender ideology in schools. Now, this is the reason, you know, when we're talking about, even as we're preparing for the Synod, how do we speak about these things? But in many ways, we're forced to take a position because we're being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
We're being challenged. And so these were people, and this was organized in a matter of just a couple of weeks. And it was aimed at defending the traditional family and stopping the spread of gender ideology in schools, and also a protest against a bill that's passing through the Italian parliament, which proposes giving same-sex couples many of the same rights as married couples. Now, we say this was this protest, we say no to any form of education which denies sexual differences. We have to recognize the rights of the individual. Yes, we have to recognize the rights of the individual. This is a no-brainer.
Right.
But this should not lead to a distortion mm-hmm. of the family institution, mm-hmm. as was spoken at the this protest. And by the way, this was nearly a million people. This mm-hmm. They had very poor weather. And the little support, really, from the Italian Bishops' Conference. These were organizers, grassroots organizers, close to 1 million participants. And one father at the protest, they had different speakers and all that, but he says, you know, one father explained that how his son came home from school telling him his teacher taught his class that Italy is cruel and unjust because it doesn't allow same-sex marriage. Yeah. And the father says, he says, basta, you know, enough already, mm-hmm. enough already. Mm-hmm. And the participants were very much inspired by the leadership given by Pope Francis, especially on the issue of gender ideology. Now, gender theorists hold that sex may be what a person is biologically, but gender is what the person believes himself or herself to be.
Mm.
And these theorists mm-hmm. Posit that people should be able to identify as male, female, neither, or both, despite increasing evidence to suggest that that gender theory is confusing and harming children. Mm-hmm. By the way, there was another article I read. I didn't get a chance to open it, but it was like 28% of young people, I think. I got to check that before I say it. I should. I'll go ahead and say it. But it's 28% of young people are identifying themselves as I don't want to say necessarily homosexual, but bisexual or confused. I mean, this is part of the what's happening in the mm-hmm. in education, but also what's being promoted via mm-hmm. the pop sure. culture, the media, government, and all that. So, in any case, Pope Francis he lambasted the indoctrination. This is at the indoctrination of children who have increasingly been taught that what the church considers to be nefarious and highly destructive ideologies, tantamount to emotional, psychological, and even sexual abuse of children.
Mm.
He says that we need to support the right of parents to decide the moral and religious education of their children. And in this regard, I would like to express my rejection of any kind of educational experimentation on children. We cannot experiment on children and young people. They are not lab specimens.
No, they're not.
Mm-hmm. That's what the Pope said.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He said, and he continued, he said, the horrors of the manipulation of education that we experienced in the great genocidal dictatorships of the 20th century have not disappeared. They have retained a current relevance under various guises and proposals, and with a pretense of modernity, push children and young people to walk on the dictatorial path of only one form of thought. A little over a week ago, a great teacher said to me, the Pope said, at times with these projects, referring to actual educational projects, one doesn't know whether the child is going to school or to a re-education camp.
Wow.
Re-education camp.
Yes.
This is what the Pope said.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hear about this in the mainstream media.
Oh, no.
The Pope has repeatedly warned of the dangers of gender politics. Not only has he compared it with the educational policies of Hitler,
mm-hmm.
he has even reportedly called gender ideology demonic. saying it fails to recognize the order of creation. By the way, that comes through the encyclical as well. That's in the encyclical. The Holy Father advised parents to be vigilant in defending their children against gender ideology, saying our city needs a revival. And this commitment is so important when it comes to educating children and young people for whom you parents are primarily responsible. Our children, our little children, who are beginning to hear these strange ideas, these forms of ideological colonization that are poisoning their souls and the family, we must act against this. This is what inspired this this nearly a million people protesting in defense of the family yesterday in Rome. So the parliament is putting forward a legislation to criminalize saying that marriage, in other words, it's criminal to say that marriage is only between one man and one woman. To criminalize. This would be considered against the law.
Come on.
Yes, that's right. That's what I said. That's what in this legal project, the schools would be obliged to teach gender ideology, and they begin with children as little as 2 years old.
That's fair.
So anyway, and one of the there was a deacon preparing to be a priest, and he was part of the protest. And he says, you know, I'm not one to demonstrate, but I believe in some circumstances we need to visibly manifest dissent because the liberal culture is advancing quite rapidly, by the way, and also through legislative projects that go against the very foundations of civilization. He says, I believe it's time. Well, it's been time for some time.
Oh,
has
yes.
it really been?
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to take a break, but that's, what Saint Boniface said last week. I quoted this on his feast day, and I had it in a letter this past Sunday. But he says, "Let us not be like dogs who do not bark."
Mm-hmm.
And he used some other references. So very beautiful. In other words, we've got to stand in defense. Mm-hmm. What is it? But it's in defense of civilization,
right?
In defense of life, in defense of the family, in defense of the natural order of things, in defense of God's creation, right? So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, WindsOfChangeShow.com. That's WindsOfChangeShow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How shall I tell this great mystery? I am Father Thomas J. Lawyer with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. He who is without flesh becomes incarnate. The Word puts on a body. The invisible is seen. He whom no hand can touch is carried, and he who knows no beginning now begins to be. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man. These words were taken from the Christmas prayers of the Byzantine Catholic Church. Turn our thoughts to the great mystery. God has condescended, bent the heavens, made a gift of himself, and entered into a spousal relationship with his own creation. The entire order of creation, most especially our human bodies, speak the language of this mystery. We are created male and female precisely so that we too could make a gift of ourselves. We too could love as God loves. Christ is born. Glorify him. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Armin was just in here, and he was he mentioned to me as well that the protest, the Italians hitting the streets to protest gender theory education, nearly a million, was also in response to what happened in Ireland, where the people and where people from the United States went and they created this or participated in trying to, what would you say, manipulate the the sentiments of the people with the agenda. And the Italians saw that. And he says, no, it's not going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen here. So they took to the streets, which is a good thing. Now, related to that is the Synod Guiding Document on Families, the Church's entitled, it's Families Need the Church's Message of Mercy. And this is where, as I said in the first segment, the Church is grappling with how do we, Pope St. John Paul II said, I haven't the authority to do what you want me to do. So we have to be true to what's been handed on to us, divine revelation. We have to be true to what has been received. We can't manipulate, we have to certainly be pastorally sensitive. And this is, they're looking for pastoral ways to deal with the reality today, the brokenness or the, as they call it, irregular family situations, such as separations, mixed marriages, divorce, as we deal with the family. But so the Church is looking for a language, a sensitivity, at the same time, to be firm in truth. Since you can't, if something is in crisis, for instance, if the priesthood is in crisis, then you don't decide, well, we're just going to, let's just, I mean, if celibacy is in crisis, see, if the rule on celibacy, the law on celibacy, that could change. It's not the Church chooses, under the inspiration of the Spirit, to insist or to impose upon, imposition sounds like the burden, but to safeguard the charism, let's say that the charism of celibacy has biblical roots, it has long-standing tradition, even though many will try to skew that and change that or give another impression. I was so impressed when I was in Rome during my sabbatical and they had the Congress on the Priesthood, and there was the whole segment during this Congress on celibacy and its roots, its tradition, and it's very, very, and why, the why of celibacy, very, very deep and very beautiful and very mystical as well. Mysticism has to be woven into the life of the Church, otherwise she's just a mere institution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that we're really truly grounded in the life of Christ as the Lord comes to us through prayer, through the sacraments, through Scripture, through the teachings of the Church. But if celibacy is in crisis, you don't decide we're going to change this. No, it would be very dangerous. If families are in crisis, if marriage is in crisis, it's a stupid thing to think, well, then we're going to redephine all this because we got to change this. Because it's not working. Well, why is it not working? What's the root problem? What's the problem here? And how do we correct it? How do we correct it? But it's really a call to cleave to the Lord, to nurture intimacy with Christ. In the case of the priesthood, in the case of the family, in the case of marriage, indeed. So the Church in this guiding document is grappling with all these issues, and as we approach the Synod, not only do we defend, safeguard, protect, and assist families, which is a bedrock of society, but how do we also reconcile and extend or show forth the face of mercy in regard to irregular situations and all that? And this is, it has to be dealt with, so that it'll be very interesting. And we need we should be praying for that synod. Very important, don't you think?
Yeah,
that's right.
I think it's very important. Anyway, So having said that, the gospel yesterday, or in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to the disciples, he says, stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And why do you notice a splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? So I was reflecting on that, especially today as I'm preparing the letter, because it was very much in my mind, because I think this is, you know, I've said often recently, I've made references to St. Paul's challenge to us that we live and proclaim the full counsel of God. And I don't think we've used this term so much on the radio, but I did mention casual Catholics, mm-hmm. cultural Catholicism. Mm-hmm. But you may have heard the often quoted phrase, cafeteria Catholic. Mm-hmm. Cafeteria Catholic is a reference made to those who do not live and proclaim the full counsel of God, but rather pick and choose those teachings that will suit one's likes, and they'll ignore or discard those that bring discomfort or disturb. And this would be an example that is often quoted mm-hmm. right here from the gospel. For instance, Jesus said again, do not judge lest you be judged. And to emphasize this further, Jesus says, why do you notice a splinter in your brother's eye but not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? And many today interpret these words as a justification to live and let live. Mm-hmm. In other words, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Mm-hmm. No judgment, please. And this attitude, which is very prevalent, distorts and perverts the gospel message. These words read within the context of the full counsel of God caution us against self-righteousness. It's about self-righteousness. Don't be self-righteous. Mm-hmm. So these words, do not judge lest you be judged. Take the speck, don't, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. These words, within the context of the full counsel of God, caution against self-righteousness. We have to remember, and I've mentioned this already on this in this hour, no, I think in the first segment, but we are first and foremost sinners in need of God's sanctifying grace. This is something maybe perhaps we don't want to admit, mm-hmm. but this is first and foremost who we are, sinners in need of God's sanctifying grace. If we're going to be honest, stand before God, before others, we have to admit this. And the full gospel message is indeed about judgment. It's about judgment. And if we profess faith in Christ, then every day we have to make a judgment. We have to judge between what is right, what is wrong, as revealed by God in the commandments, in the teachings and life of Jesus, the epistles, and the magisterial teachings of the church. So there's a proper judgment that must be exercised daily. Otherwise, what? We're like a ship without a rudder, mm-hmm. being tossed about by winds blowing from the north and the south, the east or the west, the right or the left. Yeah. You know, you want to think politically or whatever. Mm-hmm. The sea of the world is dangerously turbulent as really violent winds threaten to capsize the ship. And that ship is the church. That ship is the nation. That ship is the family. That ship is each and everyone. And so the problem today, among other things, perhaps... Well, what is the problem? Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll kind of do this.
Oh, good.
Got to stop it. Don't let me do that again, kind of. I kind of want to take a break, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org, and click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You'll find a little bit of yesterday that will delight you today at the Family Hearth General Store, a nonprofit ministry of forming faithful families in historic Frankfort, Illinois. The 1870s style old storefront honors home, faith, and family life, featuring vintage wares and unique gifts for special family occasions. From Victorian replicas, vintage decor, quilts, candles, antique samplers, and jewelry, to unique books, hand-milled soaps, old-time candy, ice cream, and bottles of pop, you'll find a warm welcome here around the family hearth. A cozy fireplace, fresh gourmet coffees, and teas await your visit. So come, sit a spell. Find us on the main street of Frankfort at 119 Kansas Street, and be sure to visit the online store at formingfaithfulfamilies.com. Like us on Facebook or give us a call at 708-334-1988.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Why couldn't this every day be like this day? I feel energetic today. I feel really good today.
We'll have to arrange that.
Can you do that? Would you
sure.
do that? Impossible. Because if every day, no, it's not that it's a perfect day. No day is a perfect
then
day.
Then we wouldn't be satisfied either.
No, you're right. That's
You'd
right.
You'd say, oh, I'm tired of this.
Then we cherish these days.
Yep.
We do, because it's just, you know, the air is, it's beautiful outside.
The sun is out.
The sun
birds
is shining.
Are
the birds are singing. The sky is blue somewhere over
the rainbow.
<rainbow. laughs> Bluebirds. Bluebirds, yeah. Anyway, but having said that, the sea of the world is dangerously turbulent as violent winds threaten to capsize the ship. I said the ship is the church, the ship is the nation, the ship is the family, the ship is each and every one. And the problem today is, among other things, a crisis in leadership, and therefore, perhaps, certainly, a lack of trust in the religious and political institutions that have the charge to steer the ship into safe harbor. Now, you just put political institutions aside, the church is the caretaker of the fullness of God's life and counsel to a world that will eventually pass away. We have to remember that the world will eventually pass away, as indeed each and every one at an appointed time will pass from this world and appear before the judgment of God. Let's go back to this. Jesus said, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." But we have to make judgment. He's talking about self-righteousness. We will be judged by God. And you just simply, my friend, you cannot read Scripture and yet ignore this reality, because it's very blatant. It's before us in the life and the teaching of Jesus Christ. Through the Gospels, through the Epistles, in the Book of Revelation, it's there. It's very blatant. There will be judgment rendered. And certainly the church is merciful, and so we have to be merciful, because if we really humbly recognize who we are, then we will be merciful. But the church has the difficult task of handing on the full counsel of God to a world still under the influence of the father of lies, who deceives in order to divide and destroy. And if you have an aversion to diabolical language, at least understand the propensity within us to turn in on ourselves and to project on others our own proclivities against the full counsel of God. We want so bad to do it our way, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We want so bad to make others conform to our wills.
Mm-hmm.
We want so bad to read the Gospels without having to render service to revealed truth. And so wherein lies the problem today, really? Is it that we're disillusioned by the sins of the institutional church, whose popes and bishops and priests and deacons are flawed, sinful, and at times even criminal? Are we disillusioned by the first teachers of the faith, our parents, who are flawed and sinful, and at times even criminal? Are we disillusioned by our fellow Catholics, who are flawed and sinful, and at times even criminal? Or are we just too distracted or too lazy to go deeper and to look higher? Are you with me on that? So, so the solution to the plight of cafeteria Catholics, casual Catholics, is the Eucharist. As this, the Eucharist is enveloped beautifully by the Word of God and the teachings of the Church. And to this end, this is a good end, you know, I would invite, and certainly if you're in Chicago, to come through these doors, but invite you wherever you are to seek the Lord where He may be found. So as I mentioned earlier in the hour, mysticism is the answer to our problems. Again, we're members of the mystical body of Christ. The Church is an institution. She has to be because she's in history. But the Church is not just here. The Church is a mystical body. So here we are on the way, but there's the angels and the saints and the Mother of God and the God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all centered in God, the mysticism of the Church, the mystical body of Christ. And this is what, but it's very simply, what is mysticism? It's very simply allowing Jesus full possession of our lives. Simply give, Jesus, I give you possession of my life. And He comes to us in His Word, most mysteriously in the Holy Eucharist. And I promise you, this one thing for sure, I really promise you anything, right? But I'm promising you something. If you create the space and you take the time for the frequent offering of yourself to Christ at the Holy Mass, and if you keep watch with him, right? Jesus says, keep watch with me. If you keep watch with him at least 1 hour a week, just an hour a week before the Blessed Sacrament, your devotion to the Lord of life, He is the Lord of life, and the life itself would dramatically change your life. I really truly believe there's no sure way to grow in intimacy with the Lord. All you have to do is look at the lives of the saints. And they had intimacy with God, walked in intimacy with God. And this intimacy, this relationship, compels us to serve life. And then at the end, we're not going to be taken off guard when we appear before the judgment of God. We're not going to be strangers to God, nor will He be a stranger to us. But it all goes back to the full counsel of God, and that, yes, a merciful people, a compassionate people, people who suffer with others, because we're all broken, we're all wounded, we're all a bit hurting, we all have disorder in life, we're wrestling between the light and the dark, but together we help each other to look to the light, to look to God, to look to the high standard. And so in mercy and compassion, but at the same time we have to defend what is truth, the truth that indeed sets us free. So who am I to judge? Well, we better be judging. We've got to judge. But let it not be self-righteous judgment, but truly imbued with the very life of Christ, that it's God's judgment on first on myself and then on others, so that we can rebuild this civilization or this ship that's being tossed about, that it doesn't sink. All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao, ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence?